Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotional. Today we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And this is a chapter commonly known as the chapter on the heroes of faith. And so let's take a look at what Hebrews 11 says. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of the staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats and destitute, afflicted and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Amen. I hope you were able to follow along a bit. It's quite a long chapter, and I encourage you to read through it again on your own time and to meditate on each of these different heroes of faith. All right, well, today I want to focus on verses 17 to 19, which talks about Abram offering Isaac up for sacrifice. And recently I received a question about how I would respond if someone were to ask me about why Abraham would offer up his own son. You know, wouldn't this cause some kind of psychological trauma for Isaac and Abraham? Isn't this something that is horrible for God to do? Why is God testing Abraham's faith? And I thought this was actually a very interesting question. I think it's reasonable to ask this question. I think for both the non-Christian and the Christian, it's a very perplexing situation. But, you know, if a non-believer were to ask me this, I'd probably try to steer the conversation a bit and ask about his own faith journey so far. But to kind of talk about this more directly, I also think when we focus on only Genesis chapter 22, which is where that scene happens, Abraham taking his son Isaac up, ultimately to sacrifice Isaac, it's easy to get tunnel visioned and ask questions like, what about their mental health and trauma, etc.? And all of those are good questions still. But we have to see that scene, that incident, in the bigger context of God's promises. God had already promised that out of the line of Abraham, God will bless his offspring and their offsprings. And Isaac was their only offspring at the time. And in many ways, God was testing Abraham's faith to not simply just trust God, but to trust that he will fulfill his promises, that God is a promise keeper. God will provide in some way. And in our chapter today, in verse 17 through 19, it tells us that Abraham had faith to believe that God will provide a way for Isaac to be raised up again. If Isaac were to die, then he believed that God will raise him up. But instead, we see that God stops Abraham and provides the sacrifice instead. I encourage you to read through Genesis 22 to get some context on this. And then in Hebrews 11, the author of Hebrews commends Abraham for his faith, for it is through his faith that his offspring and their offsprings were blessed. Let me read verses 17 to 19 again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Amen. So it is through Abraham's faith that he was deemed as righteous. And ultimately, that's how we have come to receive Jesus in the flesh. God is not just the God of Genesis 22. He is the God of the whole Bible. And he has a master plan of redeeming the lost and restoring all of creation. And God chooses to do that through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and ultimately through Jesus. And so today I want to encourage you to remember the promises of God and to look at the faith of Abraham, to learn what it means to put our faith in the God who is able to keep his promises. God has made a lot of promises in Scripture. Everything from promising to be with us always to the end of the age, to promises like Jesus will return and that day will come. Everything in between as well. Will we put our faith in the one who is able to keep his promises? Let's put our faith in the Lord today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that you are a promise keeper. Thank you that through the life of Abraham and through his faith, we see a life of faith. We see a life of putting his trust in you. And God, we want to model that. We want to imitate his life of faith. We want to put our trust in the one who is able to keep his promises. Lord, I pray that you would help us by the power of your Spirit to recognize the promises that we have a hard time believing that you will fulfill. Give us faith, Lord. Give us faith to believe in your power and your authority and in your faithfulness to fulfill your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for our daily devotional, and I hope that we can both individually and as a church community continue to put our trust in the Lord. Have a great day.